This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Welcome back to Wells Tech. This is episode 447 for Tuesday, May 31st, 2016, coming to you from the CMM, Center for Mission and Ministry studio. My name is Martin Spriggs, show about technology and ministry. And at my side today, here in Waukesha, Wisconsin, Sally Draper.
Lucky me.
Across the Mississippi, did you?
Yeah, get to be on Wells Tech real time, face to face today. First time, I think, since last summer. No, maybe not. Maybe we did it in New Orleans.
Wells Tech Conference? Oh, yeah, we did.
I was thinking Wells Tech Conference.
I came your direction.
That's
yeah.
Right.
So what brings you this way?
Well, exciting week of training going on, especially with our Christian Giving Counselors. So I'm going to be involved in the important work that they do. They come together once a year for this face-to-face meeting. So.
Good.
Yeah, should be a good week.
Yep, absolutely. And we're kind of in an in-between week for the show. We just kind of finished our school year kinds of shows, mm-hmm. and we kind of are looking forward to a summer series. We try and pick something that is a little bit lighter fare. We trim down the agenda, so to speak, and we try and just nail one topic or two topics, and we don't try and go as long as we normally do, although it doesn't always work that way, right?
Right. Summer's a time for a little bit of relaxation and renewal. And last summer, we did a series on images, which turned out to be very popular. We mm-hmm. called it Imagine That, and we just got real practical and focused on working with images in the church and school setting. And that seemed to be well received. I think the how-to kind of stuff, people maybe are more inclined to learn things in the summer, a little bit more time on their hands to do that kind of stuff. So,
yep. And we're going to try and do some how-tos, this summer as well, but we couldn't decide on just one topic.
No.
So we pick one topic per month, the 3 months of summer. And I'm kind of excited about all three topics, although I think there's a nice mix, for people that would tune in and try and find something that makes sense for them. The first one we want to deal with in the month of June, probably one of the most, the topics that you hear most about probably these days, mm-hmm. and that's mobile.
Absolutely.
Everybody's got a mobile device these
yep.
days.
Got mine on my hip right here, so don't get far away without it. So, yeah, I think there's many practical uses for mobile devices in ministry settings, and, making you more productive, giving you the tools you need to carry out ministry, and having them there at your side whenever you need to draw from them.
Yep.
So
mobile's kind of near and dear to my heart, since I'd work kind of nights and weekends on the Wells mobile app, and I pay attention to kind of the user feedback and how users are using their devices to get Wells content. And so I just did a quick look at some of the stats for that app alone. So I don't have experience with a lot of apps, but that one, we have about 20,000 people who use the app, at least have the app installed mm-hmm. on their devices. And kind of interesting breakdown. I'm always interested to see kind of Android versus iOS, and now we provide it for Amazon, those tablets as well. And the number used to be way out of whack with the iPhone users, yeah.
Sure.
Used to be like 70-80% were all on iPhone. That number is coming together now. So today, the numbers are about 7,800 for Android, just over 11,000 or 11,500 for iOS. So those numbers have gotten a lot closer, and about 1,000 right now on Amazon. So they're using the cheap Fire tablets for the mm-hmm. most part, the $40 or $60 variety. So Wells mobile app is available on all of those. Just for fun, I kind of looked at Wells.net statistics for mobile usage, and numbers are a little bit different than I thought maybe they would be, and probably contrary to the industry even, where I thought, well, mobile is really catching up with desktop, or maybe even surpassed it in some places. Not so much on Wells.net yet. And I don't know if that says a lot about our users or the mobile friendliness of the site, whatever, which I think has improved a lot. But we've got about 65% of our Wells.net users are using the desktop to access it. Now, some may be doing both, of course, but of all the unique visitors, 65% are on desktop. about 24% mobile and 11% tablet. That's kind of how our Google Analytics break it down. So kind of interesting stats, but that I expect that number, that mobile number, to continue to go up, and that's one of the reasons we redesigned Wells.net to make it more mobile friendly, and it is a much nicer experience now. So
definitely. So part of our efforts in our month-long series will be looking at mobile apps and things like that, but it'll also be looking at how to get your message. I don't necessarily want to use the word market, but get your message to those mobile users. So making your website mobile friendly and using all the different devices to get your message out to that audience.
Yep. So we'll talk about apps. We'll talk about how to use some of the apps on them for photos or taking photos with the wonderful cameras that are available on smartphones you know, these days. The devices, as you mentioned, and then talking about that content, making that content mobile friendly. So that's June. I'm really looking forward to kind of going through that mobile conversation for those 4 weeks. What are we going to do in July?
Well, July should be an interesting month as well, because we're going to tackle the topic of security. And security should be, if it isn't, very near and dear to everyone's hearts. Obviously, we want to be personally covered and protected against attacks and different phishing schemes and all those kind of things. But we also are entrusted with data on behalf of our church and school, so we want to be sure that data is maintained in a secure environment as well. So lots of different angles to security, very hot topic these days with the amount of data that circulates in our world.
We'll surely talk about passwords, we'll talk about backups, we'll talk about the phishing, you know, the phishing schemes that are out there. In fact, I just got a call this morning on my mobile phone saying the IRS was suing me.
Oh.
I think
he's right here, folks. You can find him.
That's right. I'm not hard to find. Virus protection, copyright permissions and securing permissions for the pictures that you take. You know, that's all part of security as well. A lot of different things around security. So hopefully we'll have some good information for everybody, and look forward to participation from those who kind of have to live and breathe that too, day to day.
Definitely. So I think we'll probably call on our friend Pinterest some along the way as well. I found a particular Pinterest infographic that I thought I'd share, improving your internet security, and it lists not one or 10, but 35 do's and don'ts of internet security. So I think we were pretty secure and dedicating
we'll
a month
content,
to this topic, because it's very multifaceted, and I think Pinterest will be our friend in the process, because there's lots of great information out there.
Right. And then August. Those of you that have been following the show will remember that over the past 8 to 9 months we've been writing a book, and we've been publishing it chapter by chapter, a book about project management for nonprofits, basically churches, schools, other faith-based organizations. And so we took up, you know, kind of the writing piece over the last 9 months. Now we're going to do a little bit deeper dive into the publishing side of it. You know, we've kind of published it, you know, more blog post style, you know, in things like Sway and whatever. Now we want to kind of take a look at some of the ways that you can self-publish. So I think there is a conversation to be had in a lot of different situations in our synod, where people are writing content and maybe they never thought of publishing it beyond just the smaller circulation. But with the tools of today, with Amazon and some other tools, we're going to talk about how you can get that word out and either print a book or make a on-demand kind of book. Lots of different ins and outs of self-publishing.
Right. Even the audiobooks are possibilities these days, as you have content that can be read and recorded in that format as well.
Yep.
And looking forward to this. We know Rob Gunther has done this kind of thing. He's been a frequent contributor to Wells Tech, and he's kind of blazed the trail for us. But I think it'll be an interesting process, not just going through the hoops of whatever is required by Amazon, but actually the editing process and the formatting process and image and copyright and all those kind of things that we need to ensure we're doing properly. So I think documenting it for our listeners throughout the month of August will be a good experience.
And I'm looking forward to learning because I have not really done this before. Mm-hmm. I mean, we did an ebook a while back, but now this kind of takes it a little bit further, and I think there's some opportunities here for congregation schools to do something similar. So. So that's our summer series. I don't know that we've got really kind of a catchy title, logo, those kinds of things, but those three topics I think will take us nicely through the summer and get us ready for the next school year.
So. And we'd love to invite our listeners to participate as well, as they have experience with mobile, with security, with self-publishing. Join the conversation and share your experience as well.
Good. Sally, we are continuing a couple things yet through at least the first part of the summer. One of those is something that I've enjoyed watching over the past number of months, and that's the Wells Tech Photo Challenge.
That's right.
And we got a new one coming up for June.
We do. June has arrived, and it's time to announce a new topic for our photo challenge. We actually have several that are very summer and rest oriented. So tapping into that rest and relaxation, we'd love for you to share vacation or travel photos this month, as well as vacation Bible school photos. I know summer is a big time for vacation Bible school, soccer camps, whatever flavor it might take. And we'd love to have those photos as part of our photo challenge. In addition, we usually select a verse image, and we would encourage you to do images related to Matthew 11:29. Martin, you got that on
yep,
the screen.
Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
There you go.
Beautiful passage. Yep. So travel, vacation, and Matthew, or VBS, and Matthew 11 are the topics. So get out your camera. Great time to be able to do that. Get outside, dust it off, whatever. Submit. It's not a competition. It's just kind of a contribution that you're making to the common good. And I don't know how many photos we have in our Flickr group right now, but the quality extremely high. But even if you're not a professional, submit it and let people decide for themselves whether that's something they can use in their projects.
Absolutely, and you'll be included in our challenge prize drawing, which will be coming up in August this year as we complete the full year of the Wells Tech Photo Challenge. So head on over to wellstech.wells.net/photochallenge, and there you'll find an online form where you can fill in your contact information. We'll send you a Wells Tech Conference screen cleaner if you would like one of those for contributing to the challenge. And then you can visit the challenge album at bit.ly/WT Challenge Album for Wells Tech Challenge Album, and you can see the 671 photos.
Wow.
I think there's a few. I'm a little bit behind, so there's a few more to be added yet. So we're approaching 700, and we have a great selection of photos here for you to use. They're all in the public domain, so make use of them in your church and school ministries.
Awesome. Yeah, very, very nicely done. Mm-hmm. So total success in my opinion. I think we're to the pick of the week section. That's something that we would never give up. We're going to go through the summer. Our little tips or picks of the week, something that we found over the course of the week that we found valuable or useful, either for ourselves or somebody else. Can be a website, can be a hardware pick, can be something software-wise, an app, whatever. What's your pick this week?
Well, my pick this week comes from BetterCloud.com, and I should explain a little bit because BetterCloud.com is really a new location for this content. We've talked several times in the past, Martin, about The Guru. The Guru website was a Google-centric website where they shared great content, all kinds of tips and tricks about Google apps, basically. Well, they got absorbed into this BetterCloud.com website, so now their tips are integrated with all the tips coming out of this website. And I recently read one that I thought was really interesting and helpful, especially for those of you that perhaps teach writing or do writing, maybe sermons or something like that, and you'd like to look at your writing in Word Cloud format. There's an add-on for Google Docs that'll allow you to do this, and we'll have a link in the show notes to these instructions and an overview video. It's only about a minute and a half long that'll teach you how to do that in Google Docs. I actually have a Google Docs document open. It's the first chapter of our book here, and I just wanted to do a quick demo that once you search and add the add-on, it's called Word Cloud Generator, you can just select it from the menu and hit the create word cloud, and Google will think for a moment, and then it'll give you a word cloud to show you which words are most prominent in your document. And you can actually go into advanced options, tell it to exclude certain words if you want it to, give it the number of words you want to include. So if you want to up the word count, you can, and it'll generate a larger word cloud or whatever. And then there's also a button here that says append top word counts. And so when you click that button, it seems like maybe nothing happens, but if you scroll to the end of your document, and go way down to the bottom, you can see the word counts for the different words. So there's a nice table that it inserts into your document, and you can see the top words that are part of your document. And I think, like I said, for someone writing a sermon or perhaps teaching English or whatever it may be, having this view of what your prominent themes are throughout your document can be really valuable. Yep. So that is the Google Docs add-on called Word Cloud Generator.
So it probably acts both as a could act as a promotional tool where you're publishing this something that says here's kind of what it's about, but also as a kind of a scientific tool. You mm-hmm. do an analysis of your content too.
Interesting that you say that, because I actually thought the tool might put the word cloud into my document, and it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It only shows it over here on the side.
All right.
So it's kind of for my eyes only.
Oh, really?
Unless you take a screen capture of it, there's not really a way to publish the word cloud.
Okay.
So maybe
so
that's an
probably,
enhancement that's coming.
It's probably on the machine learning side where it's going to show you a representation of your content in a
exactly.
little bit different, like a heat map or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Exactly.
Okay.
So
cool.
That's the concept.
Very nice. And there are certainly other tools that'll do, just kind of the marketing side, mm-hmm. Where you can pick the design,
exactly.
the flavor, the colors, those kinds of things.
Just not integrated with your Google Doc. Maybe you'd copy and paste your content into
right.
those.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Very nice. All right, Sally, my pick of the week is a kind of a variation of a pick I made back in 2013, and it is a Bluetooth speaker called the JBL Charge. JBL is a speaker company. They've been around for a long time. This is, if you're not watching at home, if you're listening, I'd say the JBL Charge is, about 6 inches wide. It's a cylinder, 6 inches tall maybe, or wide depending on your orientation. It's a cylinder with a speaker in the front and another speaker in the side for the bass. One unique thing about this Bluetooth speaker is not just that you can connect up any phone or laptop that has Bluetooth, but it also can act as a charging device for a phone, laptop, whatever. So you've got a little mini USB on the back, as well as an aux jack where you can plug in directly to get sound. I take this whenever I do a presentation, because very often I'll play a video, something on YouTube or whatever, on my laptop, and I can't always count on whatever venue I'm at mm-hmm. having a good sound system or a sound system that I can hook up to. So I almost, for almost any size room, unless it's an auditorium size, I will almost always use this, because I know that it's going to work. It gets loud enough, really good quality sound out of this as well, and I just know that I have control over all the elements of my presentation. The reason I'm bringing it up, and I've talked about this on the show before, is first of all, it's very portable, but secondly, they've evolved the version of this. So my pick of the week is actually the JBL Charge 3, which is two generations beyond this. It comes with a 6,000 milliamp battery, which will support about 20 hours of playback for the product. This one, I think, has 8 or 9. There was a JBL Charge 2, and now the JBL Charge 3, which also is waterproof. Not that you're giving presentations poolside, but maybe.
You never know.
Maybe have other uses for it. It does have speakerphone capabilities as well, the JBL Charge 3 does, so that if you're in your office or whatever and you've got your phone hooked up to this, you can take a phone call over it and they can hear you and you can hear them. So it's got that capability. It's Bluetooth 3 enabled, so that's the latest version of Bluetooth. $149, I think you can probably find it, it's just out, so I don't know if you can find it any cheaper than that, but you may be able to get the JBL Charge 2, which is I would also recommend for a lot cheaper. So for those of you that present, I can envision this being used for Bible class and whatever, especially if you're kind of moving around to different rooms and you don't maybe have a speaker system built into whatever Bible class area that you're using. This would be a great addition. I've found very few venues, and smaller to middle-sized churches I've even used this when I'm doing presentations, and it's just fine. I just used this out when I was in Ohio a couple weeks back. Used this instead of trying to figure out how to hook into their sound system, hoped it worked, needed a technician, whatever. Got myself self-contained. So very sturdy. These come in nice containers, little neoprene padded protection containers, and just kind of a nice pickup, especially if you do much presenting. I find that it's really a useful and pretty economical solution for speaker systems. There's all kinds of Bluetooth speakers now, but this is one kind of, you know, I lean toward because of its portability. You can throw it in a suitcase or whatever. So that is my pick of the week.
The speakerphone capabilities seem like a real selling point for me, because I do a lot of distance phone calls and things. Mm-hmm. But I would think churches would find that appealing, as they're having struggles getting everyone to council meetings and things like that. They got to be looking toward using technology to solve some of those challenges.
Yep. Probably better. Now, I can't vouch for the JBL Charge 3 in that regard, since I don't have, I haven't purchased one of those. But I would think it's got to be most of the kind of the built-in speaker phones, you know, in a phone system as well. So maybe something you want to consider. So
yeah, definitely.
Good quality, and you know, I've had this for years and really happy with it. So.
Great pick.
All right. Just a reminder that even though we are having the summer series, we're still going to kind of blend in some of the community feedback. So if you have things that you'd like to share with us or for us to talk about on the show, don't take the summer off.
No.
Go ahead and send those in. WellsTech@wells.net is the email address. Go to any of the social networks. You'll find WellsTech there, Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, whatever. And we'll insert those in the appropriate show. We won't have kind of our full-blown community feedback shows like we have during the regular school year per se, but we'll want to make sure that we bubble to the top those things that are interesting. So don't hesitate to give us feedback.
Yep, always learn great things from the Wells Tech community.
Yep. So we already talked about next week we're going to begin our mobile month of June, and we're going to talk specifically about mobile apps, mobile app recommendations from us, things that we use all the time, others that are ministry related. Who knows? We can go a lot of places with this topic.
Yeah, you definitely can,
right?
For sure.
Anything else, Sally, for this show?
No.
A little bit shorter show, which is fine. Glad that you could join me.
Here,
it's always
for sure.
Fun. I think the dynamics is maybe a little bit more fluid. You know, when we're face-to-face, I think there's just something about the distance and how Google Hangouts, and you think you're always talking over somebody.
Right.
It's just a lot easier to just have this kind of conversation.
Definitely.
So that means you probably need to move.
Minor.
That'd be nice. But either I go to New Ulm or you come here. But all right. Thanks, Sally, for being here. Yep. And thank all of you for tuning in one more time. We'll be back next week with episode 448. Hope to see you then. Bye-bye.